Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Aleph. Hilchot Yom Tov is the name generally used to refer to these halachot, but the full title is actually Hilchot Shvitat Yom Tov. There are 6 annual days of Yom Tov, which the Torah describes, listed by the Rambam in the first halacha of this perek, and there are many halachot which apply to individual days among these 6. The halachot of eating matzah, of hearing the shofar, of dwelling in the sukkah, and of taking the araminim. All of those will be discussed in the next 2 sets of halachot. In these 8 prakim, though, the Rambam discusses what is common to all of these days, Shvitat Yom Tov, the manner in which we are obligated to abstain from melacha on each day of Yom Tov. Halacha Aleph. Sheshet yamim ha'elu she'asaran ha'katuv ba'asiyat melacha, shehen rishon u'shvi'i shel Pesach, v'rishon u'shmini shel Chag HaSukkot, v'yom Chag HaShavuot, u'v'echad l'chodesh ha'shvi'i, hein ha'nikra'in yamim tovim. U'shvitat kulan shava, shehen asurin b'chol melechet avoda, chutz mimelacha shi letzorech achila.
There are 6 days in which the Torah forbids the performance of melechet avodah and permits doing melacha for the purpose of eating. These are collectively called the Yamim Tovim, and they include the first and last day of Pesach, the first and last day of Sukkot, the last day referring, of course, to Shmini Atzeret, Shavuot, and Rosh Hashanah. The heter to do melacha necessary for eating has its source in the pasuk in Parshat Bo of Ach Asher Yechel L'chol Nefesh. We get from this pasuk the phrase Ochel Nefesh, which refers to those melachot which one may do on Yom Tov. Later in Halacha Tet and Halachot Yud Aleph to Yud Bet, the Rambam clarifies that Ochel Nefesh refers to eating on Yom Tov itself, not preparing food on Yom Tov for a later date. Any leftovers from Yom Tov may be eaten on a subsequent day of Chol, but Chazal were very machmir about someone who is ma'arim, who pretends to be cooking for Yom Tov itself, but is really preparing food for a later day. One who does this may never eat the food, even after Yom Tov ends. Even if an animal is very sick on Yom Tov and will likely not make it through the day, one may only shecht it if he can eat at least a kazayit of its meat before the day is out. Otherwise, this is considered shchita for after Yom Tov and is prohibited. Halacha bet. Kol ha-shovet mi-melechet avodah be'chad mehen, harei kiyei mitzvat asei, sharei nemar behem shabbaton, klomar shvot, v'chol ha-oseh be'chad mehen melacha she'ina letzorech achila, kigon shebana o haras o arag v'chayotzei ba'elu, harei bitel mitzvat asei, v'avar alo tasei, shnamar kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu, kol melacha lo yaseh behem. One who abstains from melechet avoda on one of these days fulfills the mitzvat asei of Shabbaton, specific to that day. And one who performs on any of them a melacha not for the purpose of ochel nefesh, like building or weaving, not only neglects that mitzvat asei, but also violates the mitzvat lo tasei, specific to that day of kol melechet avoda lo tasu. The Torah repeats the mitzvat asei and the mitzvat lo tasei for each day of Yom Tov, for a total of 12 mitzvot, and these are exactly the 12 mitzvot, 6 positive and 6 negative, listed in the koteret at the beginning of these halachot. Unlike Shabbat, where one who does melacha intentionally is subject to capital punishment, and unlike Yom Kippur, where this carries a punishment of karet, one who does melacha not for ochel nefesh purposes, intentionally on Yom Tov, in the presence of Edim, and after being warned not to do so, hatra, gets the punishment of malkot. Halacha Gimel proceeds to clarify that even if one does many melachot, one after the other, after a single hatra, he gets only one set of malkot. In contrast, recall from Hilchot Shabbat Perek Zayin that one who does bishogeg many melachot on Shabbat in one period of forgetting, one helim, brings a separate korban chatat for each melacha. This is the concept of chiluk melachot, separation of melachot, which is relevant for Shabbat and not for Yom Tov. An important phrase which came up both in Halacha Aleph and Halacha Bet is melechet avodah. Regarding Shabbat and Yom Kippur, the Torah says, Lo taseh kol melacha. But regarding each Yom Tov, the relevant pasuk is, Kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu. The Ramban explains, both in his Perush al Torah and in his commentary Melchamot Hashem on the Rif in Masechet Beitzah, that Melechet Avoda refers to any melacha which does not provide immediate benefit in the sense of producing food to be eaten in the very near term. This includes not only melachot which have nothing to do with food, but even food-related melachot which are typically done far in advance, like harvesting fruit or vegetables, sifting grain and grinding it into flour, or trapping an animal. All of these are usur midoraita on Yom Tov, according to the Ramban, as forms of melechet avodah. As we'll see over the course of this perek, the Rambam has a different understanding of the scope of the isur doraita of melechet avodah on Yom Tov. Halacha dalet. Kol melacha shechayvin aleha b'shabbat, im asa ota b'yom tov shelo l'tzorach achila, loke, chutz mehotza'a merushut lirushut v'ha'avara. Shemitoch shehutra hotza'a b'yom tov l'tzorach achila, hutra shelo l'tzorach achila. Lefichach mutar b'yom tov lohotzi katan o sefer Torah o mafteach v'chayotze ba'elu merushut lirushut. V'chein mutar l'havir, ava pi sheino l'tzorach achila. Ushar melachot, kol sheyesh bo tzorach achila, mutar, kegon shchita v'lisha v'afiya v'chayotze behen. V'chol she'en ben tzorach achila, asur, kegon ariga u'chtiva u'vinyan v'chayotze behen. There are two melachot among the 39 prohibited melachot Shabbat, which are entirely permitted on Yom Tov. These are hotza'ah mirushut lirushut, carrying, and havara, lighting a flame. Regarding both of these, the Gemara applies a principle, quoted by the Rambam here, of mitoch shuhutra litzorech achila, hutra shelo litzorech. Because it is permitted for the purpose of eating, it is permitted for other purposes as well. The Rambam seems to permit hotza'ah entirely on Yom Tov, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts this view. But the Ramah rules in accordance with other Rishonim, including Tosfot, that carrying is permitted on Yom Tov only if there is tzorech k'tzat, some minimal need for the object being carried, even if it has nothing to do with eating or any other physical benefit. Ashkenazim should therefore be careful not to carry on Yom Tov outside an Eruv when this has no constructive purpose, like something left in one's pocket from the day before, which he doesn't need on Yom Tov at all. This is a little-known halacha that many people are not aware of. Regarding any melacha other than these two, the rule is that anything done for ochel nefesh purposes is permitted, and one who does melacha having nothing to do with ochel nefesh gets the punishment of malkot for violating an isser d'oraita. The Rambam lists specific melachot. Shechting, kneading, and baking are examples of the first type, and weaving, writing, and building are examples of the second type. The Magen Mishnah understands that the melachot of the second type are always forbidden midoraita on Yom Tov, even if they are done for the purpose of ochel nefesh. But this seems to be contradicted by a later psak of the Rambam in Perek Gimel, where he writes that making cheese is only usur midrabanan on Yom Tov. We'll see why when we get there. Even though he wrote in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Zayin that making cheese is a tolda of boneh. So the Rambam seems to permit midoraita any melacha at all when it is done for ochel nefesh purposes. And the building he refers to in this halacha as being usur midoraita is the av melacha bona, building a physical structure, not the tolda of making cheese. Now that we've established the doraita parameters of the isur melacha of Yom Tov, halacha hey moves on to a prohibition added by Chazal. Kol melacha she'efshar la le'asot me'erev Yom Tov, v'lo yeba hefseid, v'lo chesron im na'aseit mi'ba'erev, asru chachamim la'asot ota b'yom tov, af al pishi le'tzorach achila. V'lama asru davar ze, gzera shema yaniach adam melachot she'efshar la'asotan mi'ba'erev li'yom tov, v'nimtza Yom Tov kulo holech ba'asiyat otan melachot, v'imana mi'simchat Yom Tov, v'lo yelo p'nai lechol v'lishtot. Any melechet ochel nefesh, which can be done in advance of Yom Tov, without any loss or disadvantage, is rabbinically forbidden on Yom Tov itself. The reason for this prohibition is a gzera, lest someone leave for Yom Tov even melachot which he can easily perform in advance. And in this manner, he will end up spending all of Yom Tov on these melachot, and have no time to devote to eating, drinking, and otherwise being involved in the simcha, which is meant to characterize the day. We'll learn more about Simchat Yom Tov in Perek Vav. This emphasis on Simchat Yom Tov, Halacha Vav proceeds to explain, is the reason that carrying, Hotzah, is not forbidden at all on Yom Tov, even though it can certainly be done in advance. One can only truly enjoy the day if he is able to take things from one place to another without any limitation. It's interesting to note that the Rambam does not say the same thing about the other melacha, which is entirely permitted midoraita on Yom Tov, namely Havara, kindling a flame. Indeed, as we'll see in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, it is rabbinically forbidden to create a new flame on Yom Tov because this can be done in advance, and one is only permitted to transfer fire from one place to another using a pre-existing flame. Halachot Zayin and Chet explicate what may and may not be performed among Melachot Ochel Nefesh in light of this Isser Derabanan. Ketzad, ein kotzrin velo dashin velo zorin velo borin velo tochanin tachitim velo merakdin biyom tov shekol elu chayotze behen efshar lasotan mi ba'erev ve'ein bechach hefseid velo chesron aval lashin ve'ofin ve'shochatin umvashlin biyom tov shimasa elu mi ba'erev yesh bechach hefseid o chesron tam she'ein lechem cham o tavshil shebashal hayom kelechem shnefa me'emesh uchetavshil shnipashel me'emesh ולא בשר שנשחט היום כבשר שנשחט מאמש, וכן כל כיוצא באלו, וכן מכשירי אוכל נפש שיש בהן חסרון אם נעשו מבערב, עושין אותן ביום טוב, כגון שחיקת טבלין וכיוצא בהן. Midoraita, it is permitted to perform almost all the melachot of the sidura depat, the process of making bread, on Yom Tov, from harvesting the grain all the way to baking the bread. Here the Rambam is explicitly against the view of the Ramban we mentioned earlier, that melachot like harvesting, threshing, and sifting are asur midoraita, as forms of melechet avodah, because they are typically done long in advance of eating. The Rambam writes that all of these are forbidden only midrabanan, because they can be done before Yom Tov, without sacrificing quality, as he explained in Halacha Hey. However, the melachot of kneading and baking dough, shechting an animal, and cooking may be performed on Yom Tov, because with regard to all of these, there is a major advantage in terms of taste and quality if the melacha is done as close as possible to when the food being prepared will be eaten. The same is true of grinding spices. The Rambam uses the phrase machshirei ochel nefesh, secondary ochel nefesh activities, in reference to grinding spices, seemingly because spices are not eaten by themselves, but rather are used to flavor some other food. This shouldn't be confused with the general use of the term machshirei ochel nefesh, which we'll learn in Perek Dalet, and which is a subject of wide debate. Melacha performed not to make food, but to make or fix a kli, which is then used to prepare food. The Ravid in a Hasaga on Halacha Chet points out a difficulty with the Rambam's explanation. Fresh fruits and vegetables taste best and are of highest quality when they are eaten as soon as possible after being picked. So why is it forbidden to pick fruits and vegetables, the melacha of kotzer, on Yom Tov? Because of this difficulty, the Ravid rejects the Rambam's approach, and quotes a Yerushalmi, which is consistent with the Ramban we saw earlier. Early stages of food preparation are forbidden midoraita on Yom Tov, and only later stages are permitted. The Yerushalmi bases this distinction not on the meaning of melechet avodah, like the Ramban does, but rather on a drasha from a different pasuk. In Parshat Bo, the pasuk immediately following the one of Ach Asher Yechel Ochel Nefesh, the source of the heter of Melechet Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov, begins Ushmartem et HaMatzot, referring to eating matzah on Pesach. This pasuk, claims the Yerushalmi, tells us something about which melachot are included in the heter of Melechet Ochel Nefesh. The Yerushalmi doesn't elaborate beyond that, and the understanding of most Rishonim, including the Ramban, is that just like the din of Shmira for matzah, which we'll learn about in Hilchot Chamitzu Matzah, Perakei, applies to the last stages of Lisha Vafia, kneading and baking, these are the only stages of the Sidura Depat which are permitted midoraita on Yom Tov. But the Ravid understands the Yerushalmi differently. Just as making grain into matzah is a malacha done on Talush, ingredients detached from the ground, so too all melechet ochel nefesh may only be done on talush, and therefore kotzer is categorically forbidden on Yom Tov, even when the food tastes much better when it is freshly picked. Whatever the explanation provided by other Rishonim for the Isser Doraita of Ktsira on Yom Tov, how do we answer the Ravid's question on the Rambam? Why may one not pick fruit on Yom Tov, even though this provides a major advantage in terms of taste and quality? I would suggest that there is a difference between picking fruit and melachot like kneading dough, baking, and cooking. In the last examples, the melachot themselves contribute to producing a food of high quality. As time goes by, the quality of the food goes down, and therefore the melacha may be done on Yom Tov in order to have the highest quality food. But when a fruit or vegetable is picked, the melacha of kotzer does not contribute anything to the quality of the food. The fruit or vegetable was already fully formed, and picking it, if anything, is destructive in that it detaches the food from its sustenance and activates a metaphorical timer, counting down the hours or days until the food goes bad. So the Rambam may mean to say that Chazal permitted on Yom Tov only melacha which actively contributes to creating food, and whose contribution is significantly greater when performed on Yom Tov itself rather than on Erev Yom Tov. The melacha of kotzer, since it doesn't contribute anything positive, is entirely excluded from this heter. We explained halacha tet earlier, so we move to halacha yud about increasing the quantity of food included in a melacha. Memala isha kedera basar, afal pi sheina tzricha ela lachaticha achat. Umemala nachtom chavit shel mayim, afal pi sheino tzarich ela lekiton echad. Umemala isha tanur pat, afal pi sheina tzricha ela lechikar echad. Shebizman shapat meruba, hi nefet yafeh. Umolech adam kama chatichot bevat achat, afal pi sheino tzarich ela lachaticha achat, vechein kol kayotze bazeh. A woman cooking meat in a pot may fill the pot with meat, even though she needs only one piece. And someone salting meat may apply salt to a large number of pieces, even though he needs only one piece. In both of these cases, the melacha done is the same, boiling the contents of the pot and spreading salt over some location, whether the quantity of food is small or large. But the case between these two seems different. A woman baking bread may fill the oven with loaves, even though she needs only one. As each loaf sits by itself in the oven, why should it be permitted to add loaves to bake when they aren't needed? The Rambam explains, each individual loaf is baked better when the oven is full, because filling the oven keeps the heat trapped inside. Based on this explanation, many Rishonim suggest that this heter to bake extra loaves together with the one loaf that is actually needed does not apply nowadays, when our ovens don't work the same way, and there is no advantage to having a full oven. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this stringency lahalacha. We already learned halachot yud aleph and yud bet, so we proceed to halacha yud gimel, which adds an important limitation to the entire heter of ochel nefesh. Ein ofin umivashlin biyom tov kidei lahachil goyim o klavim, shnamar hu levado yase lachem, lachem velo legoyim, lachem velo lichlavim. Lefichach mezamnin et hagoy b'shabbat, ve'ein mezamnin oto b'yom tov, gzera shema yarbe b'shvilo. Aval im ba hagoy me'ilav, ochel imehen ma'shein ochlin, shekvar hechinu. The end of the pasuk of Ach asher yachel lechol nefesh are the words Hu levado yaseh lachem. And from the word lachem, Chazal learned that the heter of ochel nefesh applies only to food eaten by Jews, not by non-Jews or by animals. For this reason, a goy may not be invited to a Yom Tov meal, as a gzera, lest the host cook extra for him, which is forbidden on Yom Tov. This concern does not exist on Shabbat, as cooking food on Shabbat is forbidden in any event, and therefore a non-Jew may be invited to a Shabbat meal. This is a good example of how a chumrah in one halacha, not being allowed to cook on Shabbat at all, as opposed to Yom Tov, can lead to a kula in another one. We may invite a non-Jew to dine with us on Shabbat, the more stringent day, but not on the more lenient day of Yom Tov. The Rambam ends the halacha by saying that if a goy shows up uninvited on Yom Tov, then he's allowed to eat with us because all the food has already been prepared. Halachot Yudalad and Tedvav expand on further details of the exclusion of non-Jews from the heter of Melechet Ochel Nefesh. If an animal is owned jointly by a Jew and non-Jew, then it may be slaughtered on Yom Tov, as this is the only way for the Jew to eat from his share. But if a loaf of dough is owned jointly by the two of them, it may not be baked in its entirety. Rather, the loaf must be split in two, and only the Jew's half may be baked. If one does cook on Yom Tov for a non-Jew or for an animal, or in order to eat the food at a later date, then despite his violation of the Isser Doraita of performing Melach on Yom Tov, he does not get Malkot, because of the possibility that guests will show up later in the day, and this food can be served to them. Halacha Ted Zayin. Rechitza v'sicha harei hein bichlal achila u'shtia, ve'osin otan b'yom tov, shnemar asher yachel l'chol nefesh, l'chol shebetzorech haguf, l'fichach mechamin chamin b'yom tov, ve'rochetz behem panav yadav raglav, aval kol gufo asur mishum gzerat merchatz, V'chamin shuchmu me'erav yom tov, brocheitz behen kol gufo b'yom tov, shelo gazru al davar zeh ele b'shabbat bilvad. Ochel nefesh refers not only to consuming food and drink, but to all bodily needs, including rechitza and sicha, washing oneself and anointing the body with oil. Therefore, one may heat up water on Yom Tov with which to wash his face, hands, and feet, but not his entire body. What is the difference between just the hands, face, and feet, as opposed to the entire body? The Rambam's answer is very difficult. He says that the latter is part of the Isser Drabanan of Gzeirat Merchatz. We saw this Gzeirah in Hilchot Shabbat Perakuf Bet. One may not bathe in hot water on Shabbat, even if it was heated before Shabbat, because of dishonest bathhouse attendants who would heat the water on Shabbat in violation of the Melacha Bishul and claim it was heated beforehand. What is the relevance of this here? If Ochel Nefesh includes bathing, then there is no issur to heat up water in the first place. Furthermore, the end of the halacha says explicitly that it is permitted to wash one's entire body in water heated before Yom Tov, indicating that the Gzeirat Merchatz doesn't apply to Yom Tov like it does to Shabbat. The Ramah rejects the last heter of the Rambam and allows using water heated before Yom Tov only to wash one's body one limb at a time, not all at once. Most Rishonim explain in a completely different manner why one may not heat up water on Yom Tov to wash the entire body. The Gemara says that the heter of Ochel Nefesh includes activities other than eating, but malacha may only be done for an activity which is davar hashaved l'chol nefesh, something universally perceived as a basic physical need. This concept will come up again in Perek Dalet. Washing the face, hands, and feet qualifies as a davar hashaved l'chol nefesh, as most people do this every day. But bathing is done much less frequently, and so it doesn't qualify as a davar hashaveh l'chol nefesh, and therefore water may not be heated on Yom Tov to use for washing the entire body. Note that this means that heating water for bathing is asur midoraita, as opposed to the Rambam's reason of gezerat merchatz, by which it is only asur midrabanan. As the Shar HaTzion points out, there is a major nafkamina between these two explanations in the case of a cholesh ein bo sakana, for whom isurim drabanan are generally waived. The Rambam would allow heating water for a cholesh ein bo sakana to wash his entire body, while the other Rishonim would disagree. Nowadays, of course, it is very common practice to shower every day, and poskim debate whether a daily shower should be considered a davar hashaveh l'chol nefesh. Some allow taking a hot shower on Yom Tov when there are 2 or 3 days of kodesh in a row, or when the outdoor temperature is very high and one sweats profusely. But this is not a universally accepted practice, and one should consult with his Rav before adopting it in any manner. Halacha Yud Zayin establishes that all the Isurim D'Rabbanan of Shabbat apply on Yom Tov as well, except for activities which have an Ochel Nefesh purpose, or which are rooted in the Melacha of Hotzah, which is entirely permitted on Yom Tov. These Isurim D'Rabbanan, discussed at length in Prakim Chaf Aleph through Chavav in Hilchot Shabbat, include activities which resemble malacha, gzerot against behaviors which may lead to malacha, actions or words which violate the spirit of Shabbat in terms of mimtzo cheftecha v'daber davar, and finally the Isur Tiltul of various types of muktzah. In reference to the last category, the Rambam says something very surprising at the end of Halacha Yud Zayin and continuing into Halacha Yud Chet about a prohibition which, counterintuitively, is relevant only on Yom Tov and not on Shabbat. V'yesh b'yom tov ma she'ein b'shabbat, isur mukza, sha'amukza asur b'yom tov u'mutar b'shabbat, mipnei she'yom tov kal mi'shabbat, asru bo hamukza, shema yavo lizalzel bo. Ketzad, tarnegolet ha'omedet legadel beitzim, v'shor ha'omed l'charisha, v'yonei shovach, u'feirot ha'omdin l'schora, kol elu v'chayotze behen muktzehen, v'asur lechol mehen b'yom tov, ad shi'achinotan mi'ba'od yom, v'yachshov alehen l'achila. Aval b'shabbat, hakol muchan eitzel shabbat, v'yno tzarich hachana, u'cheshem sha'amukze asur b'yom tov, kach hanolad asur. The Isser of Muktze applies only on Yom Tov and not on Shabbat. Chazal did this because Yom Tov is in general more lenient than Shabbat, and so in order to discourage a general attitude of laxity towards Yom Tov, they created a prohibition which is unique to Yom Tov, namely Muktze. What does this mean? Didn't we learn in Hilchot Shabbat Perakuf Hey about several types of Muktze which are prohibited on Shabbat? The Rambam clarifies in Halacha Yud Chet that he is referring to a specific type of Muktze, namely foods. A chicken which is set aside for laying eggs, or an ox used for plowing, or a dove residing in a dovecote, may not be slaughtered on Yom Tov unless one actively decided in advance to eat it on Yom Tov. All of these are muktzah on Shabbat in any event, because slaughtering is forbidden on Shabbat, and therefore any live animal is muktzah. Only the Rambam's last case is a concrete example of something which is muktzah on Yom Tov, but which may be eaten on Shabbat without any reservations. Peirot ha'omdim lischora, fruit set aside to sell as merchandise. These may be eaten on Shabbat, the Rambam writes in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Vav, because all food which can be eaten on Shabbat is automatically considered to be set aside for that purpose. But any food which one plans to eat on Yom Tov must be set aside for that purpose on a day of Chol prior to the start of Yom Tov. The next Perek will get into many more details about the Isser of Muktzah on Yom Tov. This halacha ends with the extension of the Isser Muktzah to an Isser of Nolad, something which came into existence on Yom Tov itself. This leads to a discussion in Halacha Yotet of the Muktzah status of an egg laid on Yom Tov. Chol mechin l'Shabbat, v'chol mechin l'Yom Tov, aval ein Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbat, v'lo Shabbat mechina l'Yom Tov. Lefichach, beitzah sh'nolda b'Yom Tov achar Shabbat, asura, v'af al pi sh'atarnegolet omedet l'achila. Ho'ilu me'emesh nigmara ha'beitza, nimtza Shabbat mechin otah l'Yom Tov, v'asarua b'chol Yom Tov, gzera mishum Yom Tov shachar Shabbat. V'chein beitzah sh'nolda b'chol Shabbat asura, gzera mishum Shabbat shachar Yom Tov. An egg is considered to have been fully formed on the day before it is laid. So an egg laid on a normal Shabbat or Yom Tov by a chicken whose designated purpose is to lay eggs should be permitted, as it came into existence on the previous day and therefore isn't an example of Nolad. But a problem arises on a Yom Tov which falls on Sunday. An egg laid that day was completed on Shabbat, and the Isser of Nolad, and of Muktzah more generally, on some food, is circumvented only by setting the food aside on a previous day of Chol, not on Shabbat. So an egg laid on any Yom Tov is Usser, as a Gzerah, lest one use an egg laid on a Sunday Yom Tov. And similarly, an egg laid on any Shabbat is Usser, as a Gzerah, lest one use an egg laid on Shabbat just following a Friday Yom Tov. In the last point, the Rambam seems to assume that even though muktzah doesn't apply to foods on Shabbat, the Isser of Nolad is more stringent and applies even on Shabbat. Halacha Chaf adds that this egg remains forbidden even if it gets mixed in 1,000 identical eggs, as it is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. It will become mutter to eat after Yom Tov or Shabbat, and therefore never gets nullified in a mixture. The last halachot of the perek discuss the institution of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot and the ways in which it resembles and differs from Yom Tov Rishon. The second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz is rabbinic in origin and has the status of a minhag. Everything which is forbidden on Yom Tov Rishon is forbidden on Yom Tov Sheni, and one gets makat mardut for violating Yom Tov Sheni by performing any malacha, any shvut rabbanan, or leaving tchum. On Yom Tov Sheni, all of these are forbidden on a rabbinic level, as Yom Tov Sheni as a whole is rabbinic, and therefore the punishment is makat mardut across the board. There is, however, one difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. The last line of Halacha Chaf Bet is Ein Beinehen Hefresh Ela Linyan HaMeit Bilvad, and Halacha Chaf Gimel goes on to explain what this means. Ketzad, HaMeit B'Yom Tov Rishon Yitasku B'Kvurato HaGoyim uv'yom tov sheni, yitasku bo Yisrael, ve'osin lo kol tzrachav, kegon asiyat hamita, u'tfirat ha'tachrichin, u'ktzitzat ha'besamim, v'chol ke'yotzei bazeh. Sh'yom tov sheni legabei ha'meit, kachol hu chashuv, ve'afilu b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. If a person passes away on Yom Tov Rishon, then the burial should be handled by non-Jews. But if someone passes away on Yom Tov Sheni, then the burial should be handled by Jews. The second day of Yom Tov, whether it be Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot or the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael, is the equivalent of a regular day of Chol in all matters pertaining to the burial of a corpse. Therefore, all the needs of the burial may be attended to, including assembling the cot or stretcher on which the corpse is placed, sewing a shroud, and cutting spices to bury with the body. If non-Jews are readily available to perform the burial on the second day, may Jews be involved in it nonetheless? The Shulchan Aruch is lenient on this point, but the Rama records the custom that at least all malachot d'oraita should be performed by non-Jews whenever possible, even on Yom Tov Sheni. The reason Chazal were lenient, specifically regarding burial, has much to do with the consideration of bizui hamet, desecration of a corpse. A dead body sitting out for 2 full days before burial would begin to decompose. Nowadays, with the possibility of refrigeration to prevent decomposition of a corpse, many poskim, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, recommend waiting until after Yom Tov altogether. Even though there is also the consideration of halanat hamet, the isser to delay burial longer than necessary, these poskim believe that halanat hamet is overridden by the concern that Jews performing malacha on Yom Tov Sheni for the purpose of burial may inadvertently perform malacha which isn't necessary for this purpose. The custom in Yerushalayim, in general, is to avoid halanat hamet whenever possible, and funerals are frequently held at night. Of course, there is no Yom Tov Sheni in Yerushalayim, but it is not unheard of for burials there to be performed by non-Jews on Yom Tov Rishon in order to avoid halanat hamet. The more common practice even there, though, is to postpone the burial until after Yom Tov in similar manner to Shabbat. The last halacha of the perek discusses the muktzah status of an egg laid on Yom Tov when there are 2 days of Yom Tov, or a day of Yom Tov and Shabbat adjacent to one another. As our time is up now, due to all the important topics which came up in this perek, and in order not to rush this very interesting final topic, we will leave the last halacha to learn along with Perek Bet in our next year.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.